The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Table Talk, our special monthly program here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, in which we invite into our studios one of our local bishops and have a conversation with him, and one in which we encourage you to stay with for the next hour. In the studio again with us today, our great honor to have with us His Grace, Bishop Bogdan J. Danilo, the Eparch, the Bishop of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Bishop has been a frequent guest with us here, and we're delighted to welcome you back again. Glory to Jesus Christ. Slava Isusu Christu.
Glory forever. Slava Naviki.
Bishop, it has been about 5 months since you came in the studio with us, and so we have a lot to talk about. And as we get there, we'll talk about the situation in Ukraine. We'll talk about how we as Catholics and as citizens here in the West should, you know, relate to this sort of thing, both in faith and our daily lives. We have so many things to talk about, but before we do, we'd ask you to give us an opening prayer.
Let us ask Holy Spirit that in this time of fall, as we prepare for coming of our Lord in December, that the Holy Spirit may lead us in our activities throughout our days. Heavenly King, Advocate Spirit of Truth, who are everywhere present and feel all things, treasury of blessing, bestower of life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of all that defiles us, and a good one, save our souls.
Amen. Bishop Bogdan Danilo is our guest. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Dan Dealey is our producer and director today. And Bishop, it's been, as I said, 5 months since you've been in our studio, and those have been a very eventful 5 months here in the Northeast Ohio area and in the United States, and of course, in your native Ukraine, and you have been there again since. So, generally, what would you say to our listeners here on Table Talk about the situation in Ukraine right now, just in terms of the people? The war has been raging. We all keep up on the news with it. Your evaluation of, you know, where things stand in terms of the people, the faithful, both Catholic and Orthodox in Ukraine?
The unfortunate thing is that war is still happening. You know, we live in a peaceful corner of the universe here in Northeast Ohio, but as we speak, somebody is without electricity, without heating, as the fall is coming. And this morning, the once again, raids over the city of Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. People also got used to, in a sense, of war. You know, there is, unfortunately, 12 million people displaced from eastern Ukraine and central Ukraine to the west. Some of them came back, as you probably, and all of those who listen to us follow, that Ukrainian army was able to have regain a large territory back under Ukrainian control. But what we are learning is horrible. The 6 months of this war, or seven as we are now entering, really damage not just infrastructure of Ukraine, but first of all damage the life of the people. And that's a horrible sign, but at the same time, it's a time for us to pray for them, inform others about that situation, and try to help them to rebuild their lives.
You are not able to get actually into Ukraine since we talked last, but you did visit right on the border with your fellow bishops. What's the situation there now? Some months ago when you were on with us, you talked about your experiences in your hometown, right on the border, and how people were fleeing, thousands of them, and that sort of thing. What did you see when you went for, you were there for a synod of bishops, is that it?
Yes. Once a year, the entire Ukrainian Catholic Church gathers for their synodal meetings. And of course, because of the war, we were not able to meet in Ukraine, but we decided to meet right on the border. It's just 5 miles from the border, the city of Peremysh, one of the see of our bishop, one of the oldest sees in the Ukrainian Catholic Church. And all the bishops, over 40 of them, all active bishops and a few retired, were able to gather in that city for 10 days pastoral evaluation of the situation and also discussion on all the important topics of life of the church. And as you probably can envision, war and respond to the war was one of the main topic of our discussion.
Could you ever imagine, Your Grace, you yourself, you know, dealing with a war in your native country? You know, you grew up under the influence, obviously, of Soviet Union and communism and all that sort of thing. 30 years ago, we think it goes away. Things are a little more peaceful. Ukraine has some struggles internally. And now, all-out war. For someone who's a Ukrainian, even though you've been in this country for a long time, there's so many of them here in Northeast Ohio. You look at this and you say, I can't believe this has happened. How are you thinking and reflecting about this personally, Bishop?
On one hand, definitely, why it's happening. Why in the 21st century, in a time of prosperity and life, somebody is willing to take a portion of somebody else's home and country. But then on the other hand, this war, both for Ukraine and probably even for a larger world, is giving us opportunity to see visibly goodness and evil, righteousness and wrongdoing of others. Where in a moral sense, it gives opportunity for us to reflect what is important in life. In the last 30 years, even though we as a country had to send our young men and women, you know, to fight for freedom of others, but often was in the corners of the universe that somehow we didn't feel at home. Yeah. But now when you see that war happening on the continent of Europe, people are reflecting. Christians, definitely a Catholic community, it was such a beautiful response of our Catholics here in the United States to the suffering of those Ukrainians. There was a lot of help sent through all the channels of non-for-profit, Ecclesiastical, Knights of Columbus, other charities, you know, really help Ukraine. But even those people for whom religion was not that close to heart, when they see a child who is, or mother who is being shot or chased from home, an invading army, they see what is right, what is wrong. And that's the hope. That's the hope that as society we can still feel the goodness and righteousness in the heart of peoples.
Yeah, when people look at this, Bishop, you know, naturally the human being sees this and he says, how can God allow this to happen? Since we talked last, it has really become clear what we suspected. There are atrocities committed and murders and mass killings and graves and all these horrible things, men, women, and children. And you look at this and someone will say, but where is God in this? How does he let this happen? And, you know, we hear this repeatedly from people, and they have every time some terrible thing like this happens. But as you said, this is very close to many, many people. So when we say this, what are we to understand? How do we deal with this when we say, God, where are you?
God is with those who are suffering. God is definitely with those who are suffering over there. And as you well know, and perhaps our listeners, that history of land in Ukraine and often church, especially Catholic Church, is in a one span of life happening almost second time. We as Ukrainian Catholic Church are celebrating basically 80 years since the end of the war, and our church went underground, if you remember, at that time. And for a Catholic faith, a number of bishops, priests, but also a lot of laity had to either give life, and we have them as newly beatified martyrs in Ukraine that St. John Paul II in the year 2001 beatified during his pastoral visit to Ukraine. And today, once again, we're seeing that suffering. God is present in that, but God is also trying to touch our lives, minds of those people, remind them about goodness and evil. Evil is present in the world. Those moments of war, the moment what is happening right now in Ukraine, is visibly showing us that that's happening. And it's our human response. Are we willing to look on what is important in our lives? And perhaps for us to reflect is more important even than those who are suffering over there, because they know they have to choose between life and death. They have to choose between preserving their families or being chased by armies who are invading. But for us who are living in a quietness of peaceful nation, we have a right also and responsibility to take seriously our response to everything what happens around us. What is important in my life? Is it family? Is it my faith? Is it my community that I belong? Or life is just passing from Sunday to Sunday and perhaps, you know, dealing with all the joys and trials and tribulations of given week or given day. Let us reflect on what is important in life and let us make decision to be closer with Christ and God. And if we are with God, we'll be able to change all the calamities that are happening in this world.
Everyone is, frustrated to say, what can we do in our part? And you mentioned the generosity of many people and that sort of thing. And then we come back to prayer. We can reserve 5 minutes a day even and pray to God to bring relief to the suffering people and all this sort of thing. This is effective, Bishop. Sometimes, like we said initially, you look at that and say, you know, God, answer my prayer. So I suppose we cannot stop praying every day. And I wonder if you could speak to the when we actually do pray and ask God's intercession or blessing and that sort of thing, what happens with us and with God listening?
God always listens. In the relationship between man and a God, throughout the history of relationship with the Almighty God from the moment of creation, when you look through the Old Testament, when you look through the New Testament and our daily lives, I think each and every one of us who today listens to this program knows that there are moments in life when we are joyful and happy, and often at that moment we are not searching for God. When there is a trouble, when there is a trial in our life, Ukrainian saying says, "Як тривога, то до Бога." When there is a trouble, we come closer to God, we approach Him. In that relationship, the only person who turns away is we, the human beings. So I would encourage everyone, especially in a time when you are going through some problems or trials in your life, remember, God is with you. Turn to prayer. Ask Him for intercession. First of all, give thanks to God for the blessings that we receive. We have so many blessings. A blessing of life. A blessing of being able to be a member of a given community. Give thanks for those who are the closest to you, your family. They are the one who will walk with you. But you have to also learn to pray with them. We lost, unfortunately, often as a community, family prayer. We lost a prayer with those who are the closest to us. And we have to regain once again that relationship with the Almighty God.
And understand, as you say, that He is listening. We may not hear the answer we want. We may not see how it was answered. So if you pray for His intercession in Ukraine, who knows what your prayer or my prayer, anyone who is, listening, every prayer, Bishop, I suppose we could say, has some effect. It does not go unanswered. Right?
Indeed. And perhaps the suffering of people in Ukraine will change them, hopefully for better, and we know for better, because there's so much generosity already seen in Ukraine. The people who are not wealthy themselves open the doors to their homes. They open their kitchens to feed those who are less fortunate. So we are already walking and doing what Christ is calling us to do. But for us here, that image allows us to once again reflect of what is important in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of my community. That's what we can change as individuals. We probably cannot change all the problems of the universe, but we can change what is happening with me and with those who are around me.
You mentioned before generosity of people, in material things, and it's so true. The people here of Northeast Ohio have been exceedingly generous in sending things like medical assistance, money, and I know your eparchy, the eparchy of St. Josaphat, is coordinating a lot of this and has sent probably at least more than $1 million already. And back in late August, your cathedral parish, St. Josaphat, there on State Road in Parma, had a big festival and thousands of people came, were so generous. You were able to buy 2 ambulances and actually ship them over right to the front lines in Ukraine. So real solid physical things that if someone is feeling helpless, what can I do? There's a good example of what can be done.
Indeed. We ask, first of all, for prayer. We have to, as we are speaking right now, realize that prayer changes. Changes us, but changes also situation around us. Lord is listening, and hopefully even the situation with Ukraine, that almighty fight between the Goliath and David, you know, in that fight, Ukraine was to lose long time ago, according to the political minds of some, but it's still standing. Ukrainians are fighting for their own land, but they are also asking for prayer of others, and they are very thankful for this. The one message we receive from the young men and women who are defending Ukraine is thanking both people in Ukraine and beyond Ukraine for their prayers. It's amazing. They are not asking even for bullets or other things, but they are asking for more prayers, because that's what gives them a courage to withstand the situation they are in. Second is to tell the truth about this war. You know, it's 7 months. When we listen or when we watch TV, war in Ukraine is no longer the main focus often of TV stations or other medias. So we have to, as good people, remind people that there is still suffering. There's almost, if I'm not mistaken, over 20 wars in the world right now happening. But for one reason or another, the war in Ukraine became more visible, and perhaps that's the moment that gives us a chance once again to focus on what is important in life. And as you mentioned, the third and probably very important moment of saving life is what communities both here in Northeast Ohio, throughout the United States of America and other places, did for Ukraine. We are, by sending those two ambulances, and it's just a symbolic gesture in a sense. It's just two ambulances for a nation of 40 some million people, but those two ambulances will be able to save a life of somebody who needs this the most. And perhaps that person one day will be able to lead both Ukraine and the world to a better place.
We're talking with Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Eparchy of St. Josaphat for the Ukrainians, based in Parma, here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Bishop Danilo in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Table Talk here on The Rock, AM 1260, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Dick Russ, and in the studio with us is Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. We've been talking about the situation in Ukraine. So close to the tens of thousands of people of Ukrainian descent, first, second generation, and even many born in Ukraine, Bishop, who are either here very recently as refugees from the war or over, you know, the course of time. And as we took our break, we were mentioning how clearly real what's going on in Ukraine is, say, to people like you and those who have fled here in the year 2022. You mentioned about it goes off the news, right? So obviously, you know, that's, yes. I mean, you know, people know I was a newsman for a long, long time. And in what they call the news cycle, sometimes these things, unfortunately, and you try not to let it happen, but something new comes along and then people forget about the war in Ukraine. But when you were there for this Bishop's Synod right across the border, right into Poland, that war was very real for you, even as you and your fellow bishops, the leaders of the Ukrainian Catholic Church worldwide, met. What about that, Bishop?
Right after the meeting of the bishop, initially last year when we planned the Synod of the Ukrainian Catholic Bishop, we were planning to be in Kyiv, in a capital city at our cathedral, which is a beautiful symbol of gathering of all the bishops throughout the world, in a see of primate, his Beatitude Patriarch Sviatoslav in Kyiv. Due to the war situation, we were unable to be over there. And as I mentioned, we met in Peremysh. But then right after the end of the Synod, a group of bishops, especially from North America, crossed the border for traditional pilgrimage to Mother of God in Zarvanitsa. Zarvanitsa is in a western Ukraine. It's a small place where we had the apparition of Mother of God, and now it's a big Marian shrine where during the regular time for that all Ukrainian pilgrimage, we may have even 250,000 people coming to stay over a weekend and pray in that beautiful place. This year, Even though people were asked not to come for the security reason, there was still over 10,000 people. But what was very real for me were announcement before the Divine Liturgy, before the Mass, or other services, and even during the services with break, where people were reminded, in case of raid, could you imagine you are staying in a church, praying the Divine Liturgy or other prayers, and here announcement comes, in case of raid, bombs or other raids, please come to the lower church, where is in a sense a bomb shelter, or if you are outside, closer to the trees in a forest, stay as close as you can to the tree, because the tree may protect your life. That prayer then becomes very real, because you may, by hearing that announcement, know that maybe those prayers you are saying are the last prayers in your life. There was a seminarian who once wrote in a seminar. So, you know, I spent most of my priesthood in a seminary formation in Stamford, Connecticut. We have a Ukrainian Catholic college seminary over there, St. Basil College. And there was a sign in a sacristy, "Dear Father," and I believe it applies to each and every one of us, not just the priest. "Dear Father, celebrate that liturgy as the first, last, and the only one you'll be able to celebrate." When you put something like that in this perspective, that prayers become more real and also touching your heart. And the same happens with, they said, with the soldiers on the front line. They say there's not too many atheists, you know, when the war happens. To whatever God you are praying to a higher power to give you a strength to withstand. And let's hope that that experience will not end just with the end of the war that we are also praying so much, but will be able to change us, as change the society here in America after the Second World War. Remember, we call them the greatest generation. Those young men, at that time mostly men, you know, came back from overseas. They saw also horrible things. A lot of them didn't want to even talk about this, but they tried to raise their family in goodness and kindness that they miss or fought across the ocean. And let's hope that we will be able to once again, God is giving us that chance every morning we wake up to make this world a better place.
So important to remember, Your Grace, you know, even though it's not the lead story on the news anymore every night, this situation in Ukraine is deadly serious. As what an example. Praying the Divine Liturgy and the announcement comes in case the missiles or the bombs start coming down. Here's what you do. This is the year 2022 when we're recording. This is not 1942 or 1944. Unfortunately, these things in history repeat. And as you said, for some of the, what we could, you know, respectfully say, the old timers who remember that time in Europe and in whatever country they're from, whether they were captive in Germany, as a lot of Ukrainians were, and in Poland, in Ukraine, the Second World War, it did become real for them again. And, you know, the ambulances going by for the newcomers, all those sort of things. So as we began the program, Bishop, we pray. Here, what can we do? We pray, as you so eloquently put. We remember what we're thankful for and what is our place in this situation and how do we conduct our daily lives. Unfortunate, sometimes it takes disaster or war to do this, but I suppose you have to take, oh, we might say, advantage of this opportunity to let this be meaningful in some way. Comes right back again to what is God's purpose in this.
Another chance for us to realize how blessed we are and also point ourselves toward the direction how I can make this world a better place. That's the reason of Christ's coming, of God Emmanuel being with us. He became human so we can become closer to the one who created us.
You're listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Bishop Danilo is with us. You had your synod of Ukrainian Catholic bishops not long ago near the border of Ukraine. One person who was not there, maybe would not have been because of his age, but we would be remiss if we did not mention the passing of His Grace, one of your predecessors at St. Joseph at Eparchy, Bishop Robert Muscal, who passed into eternal life on the 7th of August. Bishop Robert was the very first bishop eparch of the newly created Eparchy of Parma, which was about 40 years ago. and he served with grace for a long time, and died. He was in his mid-80s a few months ago. Tell us a little bit about your reflections on Bishop Robert.
Bishop Robert was a man of faith. Bishop Robert was a native of our Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Joseph. For those who are listening and perhaps do not know, Eparchy is not just northeast of Ohio. We have a see here in the city of Parma, but Eparchy covers 11 states, going all the way down to Florida, including the western Pennsylvania. And Bishop Robert was a second generation born in U.S., in Carnegie, PA, a faithful young man who always was close to the church. Church gave him foundation of his life, entered the seminary in Stamford, Connecticut, as a lot of young men at that time of his age did, graduated from a Catholic university in Washington, and we have a House of Formation, St. Joseph at Seminary in Washington, D.C. And then most of his priestly life, he ministered to people in Philadelphia, and then, as you mentioned, became in 1983, we are coming close to it, it's the beginning of the December 5th, and the Eparchy of St. Josephat was created, and he became the first bishop of the Eparchy of St. Josephat. And as you all know, those who greet him and met him over here, became a father to a large Ukrainian Catholic community and people throughout northeast of Ohio.
Interesting that it brings it right back, because as a newsman then, I was there, and I remember filming it, and actually I have some of that film, Bishop, and we can talk about that later. But that was a monumental thing, the creation of an eparchy. Now, the cathedral was not there yet. The big cathedral people know with the five golden domes on State Road, that was some years later, closer to the late 80s. But yeah, Bishop Robert was a man who served for a long time, and to have something newly created and then you're the head of it, and like you said, 11 states, that was new territory. And so his successor then was the apostolic administrator, Bishop Bura, who is, I believe, back in Washington now and semi-retired, and then yourself. So there's quite a legacy of leadership there, and Bishop Robert was very close to a lot of people who go back in time at St. Josephat.
Indeed, and I would ask everyone who listens to say a prayer for Bishop Robert. Keep him in your prayers. Let's hope that he is among the saints and he's seeing us in this time and also looking with smile on the entire communities and wishing us all the blessings. And what was unique about Bishop Robert also was that his desire was to go back to his home parish. So if you recall, for his funeral services, we had 2 days of priestly and bishop funeral rites here at the Cathedral of St. Josephat, which gave a chance for a lot of faithful and clergy from this area to come and pay respect. And then his body was moved to Carnegie, to Holy Trinity Parish in Carnegie, which was his home parish. And he is buried with his family and close priests who were two of the founders of that community, and he's next to them in a beautiful chapel on the Trinity Acres in Carnegie.
Yeah, I know many fellow bishops came to his services, and among them was the relatively new bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese here, Bishop Edward Malesic, and we had him on a program, and he remarked on how he had attended one of the services in Parma, and that he wished he would have known him better, but priestly and episcopal fraternity, we see that. We talked about succession of from the apostles and that sort of thing. So may his memory be eternal, Bishop Robert, Robert Moscal. Bishop Bogdan, you recently attended and held a big conference of your clergy for the eparchy and you know, the priests, and were the deacons there as well, or was this just priests?
There were clergy of all four eparchies of our metropolitan United States. Wow. The Ukrainian Catholic Church has four sees in US. I mentioned already about Philadelphia. That's the metropolitan C for us, the oldest. Then there is Upper Key of Stamford, which covers basically New York State and all the states of New England. Then our Upper Key, as I mentioned, Upper Key of St. Joseph, going with all of those 11 states. And then Chicago Upper Key, which is all the territory west of Mississippi, going all the way to Hawaii. And we met in a city of Chicago. So there was clergy, mostly priests, meeting for 4 days in a city of Chicago. We have that tradition already established over 20 years, that every 5 years we try to bring all the priests in active ministry so we can discuss the pastoral activities and challenges and blessings that we encounter in our communities. And due to the COVID, we couldn't meet for almost 2 years. So we were blessed that last week we were able to gather in Chicago, all bishops and all the priests ministering throughout the United States.
And pastorally, what is the focus then of your clergy and of the Ukrainian Catholic Church in the United States here?
It's return to the house of the Lord, trying to bring closer. And as I would encourage everyone to listen to us, whatever parish is your home parish, please go for a prayer, both Sunday, but if you are driving even during the week and perhaps a traffic at 5 o'clock will take you by your home parish, just stop by, say a prayer. Those 5-10 minutes perhaps will bring you closer to that reality that we discussed throughout the program, of knowing that you are not alone, that God is with you, and if God is with us, nothing is impossible. But the program basically, or our gathering, focus on moving from the COVID situation to more active pastoral activities. One of the blessings for us, for the church in our eparchias throughout the United States, was that unfortunately the war, we said, what are the consequences? You know, is something good can come from war? If you remember, by February of this year, we were coming out of the COVID situation, and then war in Ukraine happened. So when most of the communities were worrying, are the members of the community coming back to the churches, we had the influx of both Ukrainian Catholics in our churches, as well as those who are friends of our church, who came and prayed with us. And probably the most active aspect of this was that diakonia, helping less fortunate, what we were saying, sending medicine, sending clothing. In the beginning, remember, we were sending sweaters, boots, and everything. In the end, we had to say, please don't bring any more of clothing. They can, you know, get those things closer to their home, and it takes a long time to ship something from, let's say, Cleveland to even border with Ukraine and European Union. So we're blessed of having those people. But now the question remains how we can sustain that eager moment of people coming back to the churches, and also what we can do with them and help them to be closer with Christ.
Well, that's what it's all about. And you mentioned, you know, if someone's driving, and many people listen to our programs here while they're in their car, sure, 5 minutes stopping in the church nearest you, and you never know that if you haven't been there for a while, maybe that becomes a habit. And then you come back the next day, and you come back on a Sunday and spend a little more time. Yeah, the people have so many needs and concerns in the world. That is something that we as laymen, lay people, all need. The guidance, say, of the clergy, of the priests, of the bishops, to help us navigate this world. Even if we're not in Ukraine with a war, our own country is beset by so many situations and problems and difficulties now. We need some kind of good, steady guidance to help us even in our daily life, Bishop.
Indeed, and that's what a couple months ago when I was over here, or throughout actually last 10 years almost, our church was walking through that pastoral program of Vibrant Parish, a place to encounter the living Christ. Look at this. We are not talking about the diocese. We are not talking about the, you know, Catholic Church worldwide. Where we meet Christ, each and every one of us, is our local parish community. So that's why that program was called a Vibrant Parish, a place to encounter the living Christ. And we are to be that example of living Christ, encountering those who come and pray with us. That program, in a sense, culminated in the year 2020, and we felt that we need another roadmap for us to walk for another 10 years. And the newest program, that the one we discussed mostly or introduced during the clergy gathering in Chicago, was Hope to Which Lord Calls Us. Mm-hmm. It was still a continuation of the major elements of the vibrant parish, catechesis and Word of God. We talk about the prayer, you know. Let us open the Bible for a few minutes, you know, just read two passages, three passages, and something will pop up in our minds and in our hearts, and there will be a chance to meditate upon this. If you cannot do this in the morning, perhaps in the evening before you go to sleep, you know, you can read a passage of the Bible, and hopefully the angels will carry you throughout night with that passage, and next morning will be an inspiration for you to start a new day.
A priest friend of mine had a saying, and he still tells people, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. So that's a different way to put it, but it's true. Open the Word of God, and like you said, Bishop, even for a few minutes, and see what it does to your heart. You're listening to Table Talk. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're so glad you're with us here for this hour we're spending with His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma, Ohio. We'll continue our discussion right after we take another quick break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260. I'm Dick Russ. We are certainly glad you're with us here for the hour we're spending with His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Bishop, pretty soon Thanksgiving will be upon us, the Advent season. I don't even want to say Christmas yet, but, you know, it's coming. And so the cycle continues. Winter will be here. All these things, the cycle of life, the liturgical cycle continues. So how should we be right now, as things are changing, preparing ourselves for, let's say, the secular celebration of Thanksgiving and the more important Advent season as we prepare for the Christ to be born? All those things. How can we start to prepare as things are changing without and within?
Thanksgiving, it's always a time of giving thanks. And I believe in most of our families, it's still a moment that we all can gather together. And definitely for Catholics and Christians, it's a moment of giving thanks for all the blessings we receive, both earthly and heavenly, in our lives. It's unique that it's probably the only holiday that everyone in our nation can, in one sense or another, participate. Either those who are close to God, those who are of different faith, but even those who are perhaps not practicing their beliefs, they still can reflect on all the goodness and blessings they are receiving throughout the year. And you mentioned about the Advent, and you know that in Eastern churches, it's a Lenten season. We have 40 days of preparation for Christmas. Of course, it's a joyous in compared to the Lent that prepares us for Easter, where we meditate mostly on Christ's passion. Here we are in anticipation of that, you know, coming of Christ, of Emmanuel, God with us. And I would ask everyone, perhaps maybe when you gather for Thanksgiving, when you are together at the table, look at those faces. Look in the eyes of your children, and if you have grandparents with you, those who form you of who you are, and give God a thank. And also prepare yourself to meet that Emmanuel. I often say in that 40 days of preparation, how we can, you know, what we will do when we come on that Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to the church. What is my response when we come, either kiss the icon or pray in a place where we see a child, Jesus, you know, laying in a manger? Is it just a bow that we are celebrating, you know, the season with everyone else? Or is it a coming of Christ for my sake, for me, to give me salvation, to open the heavens once again, that we can rejoin, you know, in a place which was made for us before the creation of the world?
This is really something when you think about it, Bishop, is that of all the billions and tens of billions of people who have ever lived, Christ knows everyone completely and intimately and loves us and cares for us. So you make this approach, sometimes you feel small, right? Who am I? But yet, our Lord and God knows everything.
In the eyes of God, you are the one that He came to save. As He came 2,000 years ago for the salvation, that moment continues today. God came for me and for you who are living today in the year 2022 to help us to do the meaning of our life and create us and move us toward that heavenly home that sooner or later each and every one of us will rejoice. So another thing, perhaps during Thanksgiving, give a thanks that those who are the closest to you are with you. So many people lost probably throughout the COVID, throughout other moments, you know, loved one. Be thankful for each moment you are with those who are the closest to you.
Yeah, this might be the first Thanksgiving that is semi-normal in like 3 years, Bishop, you know. And then we think about, obviously, one reason you're here is because we want to stay in touch with the Ukrainian community, both here locally and in Ukraine. But boy, when fall comes in Ukraine and certain parts of that country, and then the winter comes in, now with the war, that is really something we should keep in mind, too. I mean, you're from there. You know what it's like, how can be in the winter.
Indeed, and that's why both in our preparation for Christmas, as well as we were talking recently about that conference with clergy, we chose as a synod of the bishop from that pastoral program that should carry us throughout the next 10 years, basically three elements, and our discussion was basically going around this today. One, domestic church, family. That's always would be the essence and foundation of our communities. If we are not, as family, a unit, it will be hard to give example for others to live in even our local parishes. Second was the poor and those who are on margins. There's so many people, you know, we are talking about Ukraine, and I am thankful to each and every one of those who listen to us for your prayers, for keeping the awareness of the situation in Ukraine, for your help, for your financial humanitarian help to Ukraine. But we have so many people who are less fortunate than us outside of our doors. Christ will not show up himself probably in Rome or in other places that perhaps we cannot come. He will be on the steps of our church, on the corner by the coffee place. And those people definitely need our attention. They perhaps need food. They perhaps need other things. We have a great tradition of always collecting food before Thanksgiving, you know, for those who are less fortunate to give to the places that they can come and receive. But people even more are thirsty to know that somebody loves them. People are hungry to know about faith. And where they would learn this? They have to learn it from us, from those who are with Christ. We have to share. The greatest gift we have is to share the faith that we have with somebody else.
We have a lot to think about, Bishop. Talk about daily prayers and starting with that and reading the scriptures. And you mentioned the martyrs of Ukraine that St. John Paul II canonized. And, you know, my wife and I in our evening prayer always invoke the intercession of the holy martyrs of Ukraine. And interestingly, she and I recently saw this movie also about something that, and she mentioned, she said, why don't you bring this up, and I'll give her credit. It was about St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael, a very powerful figure in heaven and on earth. And I know St. Michael is very much important in Ukrainian Catholic circles. So many Michael the Archangel icons and even churches named after St. Michael. He's another angel we can invoke to have God intercede and help us in our daily lives, in war and family situations, all these things. Just tell us, we have a couple minutes, a little bit about St. Michael.
St. Michael, thanks to him, we have heavenly hosts who are protecting us and protecting others. You mentioned the churches. I think if you look, probably there's more St. Michael's churches throughout the you know, world and Ukrainian Catholic Church than others. Somehow the angels are, and the need of that protection is important. And we also have each and every one of us, our guardian angel.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the one who was assigned to you as we were given a name. You know, we talk about Christ and coming of Christmas. Another beautiful moment is we Catholics, Christians, we have the only God who allowed us to call him by name, the name Jesus. He's not a God just that we are not able to even pronounce in fear or awe his name, but he is a God who we call by name. And at baptism, each and every one of us receive the name so he can know each and every one of us by his or her name.
Isn't that something? Yes. Yeah, so that came about from watching this, going to this movie about St. Michael, is Meet the Angel. And it was a great reminder about that and about the guardian angels. Bishop, a few minutes here before we take our last break. Our program is being recorded and broadcast very shortly before the election here locally and across the United States. And just a word about keeping in mind one of the preeminent issues, the preeminent issue, and that is of life. We look at the war in Ukraine, we look at abortion here in the United States and all that sort of thing, and violence and the disrespect for life in so many people's lives. Keep in mind the sanctity of every human life is just so, so paramount, and I hope our listeners would take a moment to reflect on that with us.
Indeed. You know, we are living in a most prosperous country and time probably in the history. We still, as we spend this hour, are dealing mostly with trials, troubles, and all the things that need our attention. But we should be thankful about all the blessings we have. But our life cannot be prayer and Christian life disassociated with the place we live. And that's one of the blessings in a nation. We have a right to vote. We have a right to take our faith, our beliefs, our social teaching, and bring them to community that we live in. So please take that responsibility seriously, because we cannot complain about the world changing if we are not willing to engage that world. And I believe most of the people deeply inside of their heart know what is true. So I would encourage everyone who listens to this program to say a prayer. Learn about those who are representing us. They are from among us. If you want to have good representation, go and vote for those people who keep the, as you mentioned, the principle of Catholic and Christian life, so they can build a better world of today and tomorrow.
Yeah, as citizens of whatever country, we do have a responsibility, and you might even say before God, to actively participate. We can't say sit on the sidelines and let the world go and say, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, right? I mean, it is not against any of our Christian virtue to vote and to participate in the active civic life of whatever community we live in.
And we know that founders of this nation were very religious people, and a lot of principles are enshrined in Constitution, in laws that we have, even that freedom that we have in the churches that we can profess. We are a non-for-profit organization that, you know, society tells that it's better that your upbringing and Christian or any other happens in your local communities, because there is not enough police officers in this nation, you know, to watch if the laws are being kept. It's better if those laws are enshrined in our hearts and expressed in our daily lives.
You're listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our guest is His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy here in Parma. And we will come back to wrap up our program right after one final break. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back, everybody. This is Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Bishop Danilo is with us, and we just have a couple of minutes left. And thanks, Bishop, for coming in. And, you know, we talked about so many things today, about everything from our local communities and to situation in Ukraine and what's in our hearts and our responsibilities to our families and general community and all these sort of things. And with a couple of minutes left, I wonder if you could just leave us with a few words here.
Let us first of all be thankful for a gift of life and gift of faith. That faith was born in our family. So it's either your mom, your dad, maybe grandfather, grandmother, or somebody in your local community who was the one who was walking with you. Let us say a prayer and thanksgiving for meeting those people in our lives. And as we are approaching that season of Christmas, that's a good moment of being a good example of evangelization to others. Christmas is the time that community at large tends to come back to their local homes or parishes. Let us use this moment and that time to find somebody that we can walk with them to bring them closer to Christ. If we can do this for one person, each and everyone who listens, we may change the life of those people for better.
And Bishop, if you would close out our program with your blessing and a prayer.
O Lord, look down from heaven, see and visit this vineyard that your right hand planted it, and bring it to perfection, for your right hand has planted it. May the blessing of the Lord be with you always, now and forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Bogdan Danilo is our guest here on Table Talk on The Rock. We thank you so much for listening. It's been my pleasure to be your host. Our producer and engineer is Dan Dealey, and we encourage you to keep the Eparchy of St. Josaphat of the Ukrainian Catholics in Parma in mind. If you're so moved, you can go to the website and continue your support for the people of Ukraine. There are many ways in which you can help, and as Bishop Danilo so aptly reminded us, one of the best ways to start is with remembering them in your daily prayers. So thanks, everyone, for being with us. This is Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260, The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260therock.com.